I moved to, my family moved to Tampa when I was 6 years old. And in Tampa, I was where I learned the making of cigars. When I was 12 years old, that was in 1895.
Would you repeat where and when you were born, please?
I was born in Key West, Florida, in the year of 1893, 11th of October.
And your name again, just for
my name is Domingo F. Rojas.
And can you tell us something about your parents and where they were from and how you were?
My father and mother was born in Cuba. My father and mother both was born in Havana, Cuba. And they came to this country when they were 12 years old. They moved to Key West, Florida, right next door to each other's. And they grew together. And when they were 19 years old, they got married. And they stayed in Key West until I was 18 months old after. And then they went to Tampa. They moved to Tampa. And in Tampa is where I learned to make cigars. That was 73 years ago in 1905. And when I was 7 years old, we went on a trip back to Key West during the Spanish-American War. And on this ship was 200 troops going to Cuba. And Teddy Roosevelt was on the boat. And I saw him and remembered just as plain as if it happened yesterday. My father was also a cigar maker, and he had a large family. It was five boys. I was the oldest one. And I had to go to work in order to help my father to raise the family. That's how come me to be a cigar maker. And when I was 14, I was making more money than my father was. So I was giving him a good help. And we had more way to take care of the expenses.
Well, you were making more money than him. Were you paid by the number of cigars that you rolled?
Yes, you was paid. It was piecework. Mm-hmm. Paid so much, 100.
Do you remember how much you were paid back then? So what was your first job in the cigar factory? Did you start right out rolling cigars, or was there other work?
Well, you had to, in the cigar factory in them days, 73 years ago, you had to, your apprenticeship was 3 years. You had to work 3 years to learn the trade. And you had to sweep the floors and pick up the cigars off the tables and put them away and help to prepare the stock from one day to the next. And that's the way you had to do when you was an apprentice. That was for 3 solid years before you was given the opportunity to work for yourself and your as a full-fledged cigar maker.
Can you describe for us the process of making a cigar, the kind of tobacco you use, and what has to be done?
Well, when I started off as an apprentice, the cigars that I was making, it was what they call short filler cigars. There's two kinds of cigar. There's a long filler cigar and a short filler cigar. The short filler cigar is a cheaper brand of cigars. The long filler it's more expensive. So I learned with the short filler cigars. And I worked that at the Short Filler Cigars for 2 years, and then I went to work for another factory that was called Pendaz and Alvarez in Tampa to learn the Long Filler Cigars. And that's where I finished my trade, making long filler cigars under the foremanship of Capo. My foreman was Mr. Capo, a fine Spanish man, very good friend of mine.
How long were the long filler cigars? What was the difference between short filler and long filler?
Well, as I said before, the long filler is long filler cigars are expensive cigars, more expensive than the short filler cigars.
And when you make a cigar today, when you demonstrate here for people, what do you show them?
Well, when you make a cigar, you make your bunch first. And in days when I learned the trade, there was no molds. We use molds now, but in them days there was no such a thing as a mold. We made them all by hand. You make your bunch first by hand, piece by piece. The bunch is several pieces of filler. Uh-huh. That's the inside of the cigar is filler. But it's according to what kind of a size of cigars you're making, the amount of filler that you use. I can't tell you how many pieces of filler you use because there are so many different sizes. Mm-hmm. So you have to know that by experience, how many pieces of filler you use. And then on the outside of that filler that you're holding in your hand, you have to put two pieces of binder on the outside. Then you roll that together, you roll it on the table with your hand, several times, break it on both ends to the length of your cigar, and then you take your wrapper and you cut the edge of your wrapper because the edge of the wrapper is rough, so you have to cut it so as to have a smooth edge, and then you tuck it on the end of your bunch, on the end of the wrapper, and you roll it to the head of the cigar. And then you cut your edge around the top of the end of the wrapper. You cut it to fit the size of your cigar that you're making. And then you take this gum, this triacanth gum, and you paste the head of the cigar so as to hold it together. That's what makes the cigar hold together. Well, the wrapper is, we use, in this factory that I'm working now, we use Connecticut shea-grown wrapper. The wrapper is grown for the purpose to be used as a wrapper only. It can be used for nothing else. And the filler, it's the same way. It's grown for the purpose of, to be used as a filler, and the binder is the same way.
Where is the filler grown, that tobacco?
Now, the filler that we are using now comes from Honduras and Nicaragua, and the binder comes from Santo Domingo. Mm-hmm. We use four or five different kinds of tobacco in order to make a blend. You see, a cigar is just like coffee or bread. You have to use several different kinds of bread or flour in order to make bread, and it's the same thing with coffee. You have to use several different kinds of coffee in order to make a blend.
Mm-hmm. In Tampa, did they mainly get their tobacco from Cuba or about the same place?
Well, in them days, of course, we was trading with Cuba. And we made all our filler and all our wrapper came from Cuba. There wasn't using but very little domestic tobacco. Mm-hmm. It was mostly all Havana. In some shops, there was using domestic wrapper from Connecticut. But the filler was from Havana, Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why they used that Connecticut wrapper was because Connecticut has, without any doubt, the best tobacco is grown in this country. It's beautiful tobacco, beautiful colors. It's not a stain, one solid color. And so...
You said before that the wrapper needs to be prepared. What do you do to prepare the tobacco?
Well, the wrapper has got to be prepared from one day to the next. You dip it in water today and shake it until you drain all the water off of it, every drop of it. And then you lay it down on the table, on the floor, and leave it there for a couple of hours until that water evaporates completely. And then you take that wrapper and you put it away in a barrel or in a box, airtight, for use the next day. Mm-hmm. And the next day the wrapper has no water left on it, but the tobacco is tender and soft, just like velvet.
Go ahead.
And the filler and binder is have to be also dipped in there, but mostly you don't dip the binders and the filler in water. You just take a sprayer and spray just as fine, as smooth spray on it, and for one day to the next, and the next day is tender and soft, but there's no water in it, ready to work.
Can you describe the special table and the special tools that you use as a cigar maker?
In making cigars, you have a special table made for that purpose, and the tools that we use, we have a board that is made out of hard wood, apple wood, we call it. We have a blade that's called the cigar maker's blade. Then we have a cutter that cut the length of the cigar. And now, of course, we are using molds. We have molds of 20-section molds and 10-section molds. Mostly we use a 10-section mold. We make the bunches first with two binders and the filler, roll it and put it into the mold, and then we put those molds in the press and press it for 30 minutes. Then it's ready to be rolled. We put the wrap on it. And as soon as you put the wrap on it, it's ready to be smoked. You don't have to wait any time. You can smoke it as soon as you put the wrap on it.
Cigar right after it's rolled, does it
taste good? It doesn't matter. You can smoke it right after it's made or 10 days later. It's exactly the same. There's no difference in the taste or the quality of the cigar.
Can you tell us something about the whole cigar industry in Tampa?
Well, the cigar industry in Tampa, it was a wonderful industry. It built up the city of Tampa from nothing into a very large city of 30,000 people when it started in 1881 by Ignacio Martinez Ibor and Sanchez and Aya. There was three Spaniards that started the cigar industry in the city of Tampa. And it built up into a huge, beautiful industry of, as I said, 30,000 people. And mostly built by Cubans that came over from Cuba trying to get away from the troubles that they were having over there. And that was, part of them was my family, my mother's people and my father's people. They left Cuba on that account when my father and mother were 12 years old. And it was, as I say, was built into a huge industries and built up the city of Ibo. Ibo was named after the Spanish first cigar manufacturer of Tampa. And they had a reader in the cigar factories. All factories had a reader, just like they did from the first started in Cuba. And this reader sat there all day from 9 o'clock in the morning until 3 o'clock in the afternoon, reading out all the newspapers and books, which was very interested in, and kept the cigar makers listening to the reading and their work all day long without realizing the time. That time would go by in a hurry by listening to this reading. And it was a wonderful thing because the cigar makers was the most educated workers in the world due to the fact that they had that reading every day. They would read the man and read articles concerning all different subjects, read books of history and everything. So you can take a cigar maker and them days they can talk to you on most any subject. And they were also well paid, and cigar industry was well paid. The cigar makers were well paid. They were making more money than them days at the carpenters, brick masons, and any other different trades.
What would a salary be for a skilled cigar roller?
In them days, that's been 60 or 70 years ago, cigar maker's salary would run around $15 a week. In them days, $15 a week, it was as good as $50 or $75 or more. And that $100 a week, now I guess it was equal to $15 in them days. Because you can go to a grocery store and buy $2.50, $3 worth of groceries that last you a week. And speaking about the reader in a cigar factory, it was a pitiful thing. I was foreman on two of the biggest cigar factories in Tampa for 20 years.
Which were they?
And the names of them was Stackelberg, one branch of the American Cigar Company of New Jersey, and the other one was Berryman Brothers. And when I was foreman of Berryman Brothers, that's when we had to do away with a reader on the kind of the cigar makers had turned communist after Russia overthrew their government and became communist. That spread all over the city of Tampa among the cigar makers, and they turned communist, and so they demanded the reader to read communist literature. And so we just couldn't take it any longer. So all the manufacturers and all the foremen got together one night and decided to put an end to the reading. And I'm proud to say that I was one of them that put an end to that reading, that detested reading of communist literature in the cigar factories. We, after the meeting, we all went home about 1 o'clock in the morning with an axe, tore down what we call a pulpit. It's just a stand in the middle of the shop where the reader stood up and read. We took this hatchet axe we had and tore down the pulpit and threw it out the window. And the next morning we stood on the door and waited for the reader and told him we don't have any more reading here. That's the end of it. We were expecting to have troubles with the cigar makers. We thought sure they would go out on a strike But they didn't, for some reason or other, because before that, they'll go on a strike for almost anything. It's strikes is what killed the cigar industry in the city of Tampa. The 10-month strike was the last big strike they had in the city of Tampa.
What year was that?
That was around 1930. The 10-month strike killed the cigar industry in the city of Tampa. We had stacks of orders in the office so high until we didn't think we were going to be able to meet them. Every factor was loaded to its capacity. The workers were making big money. So they called a strike. And they were out on a strike 10 solid months. And when the strike ended, we didn't have any orders left to start working again, hardly.
Why were there so many strikes? Why would the workers go out on a strike?
Well, for different things. Went on a strike for... The main one was this one, a 10-month strike, was for the recognition of the union, of the American Federation of Labor, the International Union. They wanted to the manufacturers to recognize the union and have a delegate in the factory. And so the manufacturers all refused to have a delegate in the factory because when you put a delegate in the shop, it was just like you become the boss. You couldn't fire anybody unless you consulted with him. So the manufacturers wouldn't stand for it. And so that's why they wouldn't stand for it.
So the cigar makers didn't succeed in becoming unionized because
no.
They ended the industry.
No, the cigar manufacturers never did recognize a union. And I was glad of it.
What became of those people who were left without jobs when the cigar industry...
Well, honey, some of them went into different kinds of trade. And it was a terrible thing, too, when the cigar makers couldn't hardly do any other kind of work because they had been making cigars all their life and they didn't know anything else. And the union paid them so much, I think it was $3.50 a week they were getting them, which was hardly enough to live on. And it almost ruined the city every time they go off on the strike because at that time, it was only one industry in the city of Tampa, and they made their living practically, all the business section, especially Ybor City, lived off the cigar makers and went on a strike that way. Just business went down to nothing.
What happened to you during the strike?
Well, I was capable of doing more than cigars. Whenever a strike come on, I go into making cigars, selling furniture, making cigars in small Buckeyes, because usually when the big factories went on the strike, there were several small places, they call them Buckeyes. There were several small places that worked 4, 5, or 6 cigar makers that didn't go on the strike. They never called them on the strike, just the big factories. So I can always, I was a good cigar maker, one of the fastest in the city of Tampa. And I'll either get me a job in one of those Buckeyes, we call them, or I get me a job in a furniture store. I worked in the furniture stores for years in Tampa, and then even after I left Tampa, I came over here to St. Augustine and worked in the furniture store for about 15 years downtown here. And off and on, I go back to making cigars, like I am at the present time, making cigars. I do it just for keeping myself busy, my wife and I both. We had retired. We sold the restaurant that we had here, and we were supposed to retire for life. But we couldn't be satisfied at home. We was climbing the wall, trying to find something to do, so we decided to get us a little job like this in the restoration section here to keep our minds busy.
How often do you work here? How many hours a week?
I don't have any particular days. I only work when my wife works. If she doesn't work, we stay home. I stay home. When she works, I work. And this man that owns the shop, Mr. Kasaya, is a friend of mine, because I helped him to. When he first came to Cuba and came to this town, he didn't speak English. And so he was handicapped and wasn't able to take the necessary steps to start the factory, so I helped him and to help the factory. And so he appreciated that. We're very good friends. So he let me work whenever I get ready. Mm-hmm. Whenever my wife works, we both come down and work that day. And if there's no work the next day, we stay home.
Did Mr. Kasaya have a cigar factory in Tampa?
No, Mr. Kasaya never had any factories in Tampa, no. Mr. Kasaya, he had a little place of his own in Havana, Cuba. And he also worked in the cigar factories in Cuba, in the big factories. But after Castro took over, he had a narrow escape in leaving there. But he finally got away because he was bitterly opposed to that system of government. When he came over here, he started this factory here 9 years ago. And he has made a success at it because he's making a fine cigar, 500% tobacco, and he has a fine business.
You mentioned the small shops that were called Buckeyes that just employed a few people. Do you know how they got that name? Why were they called Buckeyes?
No, I don't know why they got that name, Buckeyes.
Was the word used in English or was it used in Spanish?
No, it's not used in Spanish because in Spanish it's called chinchal. Hmm. That's the way it's called in Spanish. And it's a lot of difference between the two words, chinchal and Buckeye.
Well, when you were on strike in Tampa, were you involved each time the industry went on strike? Were you at that time a foreman?
Yes, ma'am. When the 10-month strike came, I was foreman of the Stackelberg branch of the American Cigar Company. I had been with them for years. I've been there about 6 years foreman. When the strike came, and that's when the strike that lasted 10 months.
Mm-hmm. Were there very many people who were opposed to going on strike?
Were many people what?
Many people against the strike?
Oh, yes, there was quite a few against the strike. Mm-hmm. Just like I was and all of my family, we were all bitter against the strike because it was unnecessary. We was all making good money, big money. When that strike came on, that 10-month strike, we were making good money. And it was a shame. And the factories were all working at full capacity. And it was a pitiful thing to see the cigar industry go to nothing on that account, without any reason. They couldn't ask for anything better. They were all making good money. big money in them days. They were making big money.
What about your parents were in the cigar industry? Your father was. Did he work in Key West?
Oh, yes. My father worked in Key West in Gatto Cigar Factory for a couple of years. And then when they moved to Tampa, he went to work for Jay Martinez. That's where I started to learn the trade, Jay Martinez Cigar Factory.
Why did they move from Key West?
Well, they moved from Key West to better themselves. He thought that if they'll come to Tampa, they might be able to make more money, because he wasn't making enough money in Key West. Well, the trouble in Key West has had exactly the same trouble. It's one strike after the other. One strike after the other. Don't seem to be satisfied. And finally, on account of the strikes, they decided to move to Tampa. And then from Tampa, they began to have the same trouble. So that's what ruined the cigar factory industry in Tampa.
Growing up, you lived in Ybor City when you were small?
No, I never did live in Ybor City. I lived downtown. I was raised in what they call Tampa Heights, mm-hmm. in Tampa. I lived in Tampa Heights 40 years. That's where I got married the first time when I was 18 years old. And that was my...